At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. We made a big announcement in the final hour of the show yesterday that Vanderbilt football and men's basketball were going to be a part of Cromwell Media. We were very, very excited about that. You'll be able to hear those games on 93.3, our classic hit station. And also, there's going to be some special programming on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 where you can get Vanderbilt athletic updates, daily updates, and a weekly broadcast with our next guest called This Week in Vanderbilt History. Some segments on that. And Joe Fisher, the play-by-play voice, is indeed on the line with us. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, we're excited about the announcement and excited that we're going to be able to carry football games and men's basketball games. And it's really cool that Willie and I were talking about it, reminiscing. This will be our third stint, a third stop, at a station where we were carrying both the Predators and Vanderbilt Athletics.
Yeah, well, we're obviously very excited about it. It's great. As you mentioned, the games are going to be carried on a couple of the Cromwell, you know, stations, 93.3, I think 101.9, which is primarily up in the Robertson, Sumner County areas, 8:30 a.m. as well, all going to carry those, as well as being streamed on the web. And then to have the opportunity for me to have a daily report that will air on 102.5 or 94.9 or both, and then a weekly broadcast. We're going to do a one-hour show that's going to air on those elements as well. So very excited to be a part of this entire family.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you can shed any light at all, or is it still way too early to This Week in Vanderbilt History, kind of how that show, or you said that hour show every week is going to go down. Do you have any specifics, or is that kind of in the making or in the works?
I think we're still in the making, Darren, in terms of that. And I'm not sure that 1 hour show and that This Week in Vanderbilt History might be two different things.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure as of yet. You know, all that's kind of still in the process. But I don't think we're going to be in the process where you're going to have, as you guys have known for years and years, you know, during football season, you would have a one-hour show with your football coach and then a one-hour show with your basketball coach. I'm not sure that's going to be the case going forward. I think these shows might be a little more all-encompassing, that certainly will have elements of including the sports that are going on at the time, but also, well, I think bring in other elements, which it could be former players, it could be, you know, current players that are doing certain things. I think there's going to be a lot of flexibility in that regard. So that's all kind of being worked out and discussed right now. My hope, guys, as you well know, is, gosh, we have a season. You know,
yeah, I hope when we
get to September, we're playing football. That's what I think we're all counting on right now.
Well, how do you feel, as we said here? Hold on, I'm officially tapping my phone because I don't know the date ever. I know the day. I've been pretty good about the day. As we sit here on June 24th, how do you – what's your feelings about, you know, this upcoming season? Do you feel good about it?
If I had to put a percentage on it, Darren, and I've kind of wavered back and forth on this, I'm probably in the 85% mode that we're going to play.
Okay.
I give these schools, not just Vanderbilt, because I'm very familiar with what Vanderbilt is doing in trying to make sure they can be as safe, you know, and effective for getting this ready as they can. And I'm sure other schools, not only through the conference but through the country are doing the same thing. My guess is they will find a way to make this happen. Now, what we don't know, I don't think anybody knows, is it going to be in front of a stadium that's one-fourth capacity or one-half capacity or full capacity? I don't think anybody knows that, you know, as of right now. But I am pretty confident that they're going to find a way to get this season played.
Very good. We're speaking with Joe Fisher, Vanderbilt's play-by-play man, on the line with us. And, you know, we were kind of joking earlier, and we've joked before on the show during all of this that, you know, 2020 we'll never forget. There's going to be so many memories, and, you know, we'll try to always remember the good stuff, the crazy stuff, and what have you. I remember our conversation with you, Joe, right as all this hit, and we basically left the studio and we started doing this from home. You know, you were on the mic. You will always remember being the last game that was played for the SEC tournament there in the nightcap with Vanderbilt, and what that whole experience was like. I remember you walking us through it. Like, I think you said somewhere around halftime where they made the announcement and people started booing. I mean, I'm sure your memories of 2020, you'll always take this with you the rest of your life too, right? With all the craziness.
No, there's no question, Darren. It was almost surreal. I remember sitting in the arena and getting ready for our game because we were the late game of the two, you know, in that first session in the SEC tournament. And Tim Thompson and I were looking at each other and kind of saying, oh, I wonder if there's going to be an announcement or are they going to continue to play the games? He and I both speculated, even before the announcement was made, that they were going to say they were going to play the games, but no crowd would be allowed. And sure enough, that's what they did. That was the boo that you got from the crowd that was there. But then it didn't take a very long time for that to jump from, we're not going to have a crowd there. We're not going to play these anymore. And I'll never forget walking out of the building on that night. I packed up my equipment in that late game. It's, you know, approaching midnight, and I'm getting done, and I'm walking out of the arena, and Commissioner Greg Sankey comes walking into the arena after they had, I'm sure, been in lengthy meetings about all the things they were discussing. And he walked up to me, and he said, so he knew we had lost, and he said, so you're heading for baseball? And I said, yes, sir. I said, you know, we are scheduled to open this weekend at home against Kentucky, you know, in conference play, and I'll be there. And he said, boy, I hope we can keep you busy. Yeah. And when he said that, it kind of hit me that, yeah, I don't think he thinks we're going to play. And as that turned out, obviously, to be the case. So, yeah, 2020 is going to be remembered for a long time for a lot of things. But, you know, if you're a Vandy Boys fan, you're just carrying on as defending champion for another year.
That's right.
Right. Joe Fisher is with us. Voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, and of course we announced our partnership with them for the coming seasons on 93.3 Classic Hits and our entire Cromwell Radio family of stations. And Joe, I got to thinking, you know, of how it evolves, how people carry your, you know, listen to you, do the games. I've heard you on many a broadcast say, you know, I just got a message from so-and-so listening overseas somewhere, just, you know, catching the game. And I can remember back in the day when I was playing, my dad would try to go out in his car and drive up on a hill in Florida so he could pick up a real grainy version of the game if he could tune it in on a particular night. Then I remember you and I did women's basketball games one year, and they had that thing called Team Line, and some of the players' parents would call the line. You would call the number, and you would pay a certain amount of, you know, 50 cents a minute or something like that to listen to the broadcast. That was the only way you could get it unless you picked up the station. But now, of course, there's so many different ways that you can listen to the games. It's really interesting to hear how it's evolved.
It has changed, and you're right, Willie, because there were a lot of people, and we certainly remember, you know, with Vanderbilt in the past being affiliated with those clear channel 50,000-watt AM stations, and so at night, you know, you could be 20, 30 states away and be able to hear the broadcast. And, you know, there are, and I've heard people tell stories about, you know, and Willie, you remember Frank Secker, you know,
being,
I think from Wisconsin, and when he was being recruited, I think they literally went out into the driveway, got into the car, and turned it on and said, "You'll be able to hear your son, you know, play." But that was then. Technology has changed so much now, and there are so many ways for people to be able to hear your broadcast, whether it's online or through apps or whatever the case may be. But I got to tell you, and you mentioned, you know, getting, you know, emails or notifications that I'm listening from someplace. It never ceases to amaze me and humble me to a great degree to get an email from somebody, you know, that's sitting on an air base in Germany, that's a Vanderbilt alum that's listening to a broadcast, or someone who is in Hong Kong, who is, you know, where they are, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. But they are up because they're listening to us. And so there are layers of all of this. It's great to be able to do what we're doing, you know, with Cromwell, be able to serve this Middle Tennessee area with quality signals so you can hear that if you're in the car, or if you're at home, if you're not able to access it, you know, on the computer. But there are so many people all around the country and all around the world now that access it otherwise. And so there are so many platforms that, you know, things have changed so much, but it's just good to be able to lay a good solid platform here for people who are going to be in the stands. And that's another thing, Willie, and you're right, very familiar with this. I know there are a lot of folks, when you're doing a game, you know, they want to listen to you, and so they're wearing the headphones, you know, sitting in the arena, listening to you call the game. Well, we have the same thing at our place. And so you want to be able to make sure that you're able to service those folks as well. And that's all a great part of this.
I remember the first time I ever had that, Chip Frederick and I were doing Vanderbilt baseball games on a tiny signal. And Darren was actually the one, I think, that was producing the game back at the studio at a tiny station. And we were on the dugout, the third base dugout. There was no press box at the old baseball field. And we asked, is anybody out there listening? Because, you know, you could almost see every individual fan. They didn't have the crowds back then, but there was a group, you know, that raised their hand out in the outfield that they were listening to us. We just thought that was the greatest thing ever. listening on the other side.
I remember, Willie, and I'll never forget going back to 2007 when we made the NCAA tournament and hosted, you know, which was a historic, you know, occasion for Vanderbilt baseball. And there was a large contingent of people that gathered on the top of the 25th Avenue garage.
That's
right. You know, they sat up there on the very top. Now, you couldn't have a campfire, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but they were up there, I'm sure, with their beverages. But I remember saying something very similar to you, saying something in the broadcast and seeing people start waving, you know, from up there. And, boy, it just drove home the point that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that maybe you don't even think about that are paying attention to everything you're saying right now. And that's a very special memory indeed.
The sad part of that story Willie told, Joe, is I'd been in town in 1998, probably 3 months. Remember, this is 1998, okay? This is I don't even think – I don't even know if I had a phone. I don't even know if I had a cell phone then. I don't think I did. I was late to one of those broadcasts. Willie got – he was late getting on the air, and I'll tell you why I was late. I was lost. I couldn't remember how to – I couldn't figure out how to get to the radio station because I'd been in town 3 months. There wasn't GPS. There wasn't any of that stuff. I got lost. I went down the wrong road, and the next thing you know, I was completely turned around. It took me forever. I was in a straight panic. I couldn't remember how to get to the radio station. One of my more embarrassing moments.
I totally remember that. And Chip and I, we just assumed that it was us and our inability to get the equipment hooked up right. We were like, it's got to be us. Like, we must not have had a wire, you know, plugged into the right socket or whatever. And then
I didn't have a cell phone. Think about it. You get lost, you pick up the phone, you call somebody while you're driving around going, I'm lost. I didn't have that ability. I didn't have GPS. I was so out of sorts and out of whack. By the time I got there, I was probably just an absolute mess. Probably lost 5 pounds from sweating. But, yeah, not my best moment in this profession. But I was late to one of those broadcasts, and therefore Willie was late getting on the air because of me.
Yeah. Maybe the first inning was not carried there. But, Joe, let's finish with this because one of the things in partnering with us that we're excited about is, you know, people – will have a sense of partnership and an outlet where Vanderbilt athletics gets discussed, and you have a presence there. And that's an important thing these days, right? Because you want to service the people that they want to hear about the teams, they want to hear from the coaches, and it's our job to help give you the access to do that, and you're going to be an important part of that.
Well, I appreciate that, Willie, and I think you do want to be in the conversation. I think what you hope, and I think what we expect, is that you have teams that are worthy of being in the conversation. You know, you're not just talking the talk because, you know, they're paying money to do it. I mean, you want competitive teams that you can be proud of, that you want to keep up with, and I think you're going to see that. I think this is going to be a fascinating month coming up, guys, because, you know, everybody's going through this phase of wondering if we're going to be able to play college football and, you know, how's this all going to play out. And, you know, I think by the middle of July, some pretty serious decisions are going to have to be made on how they will proceed forward, if they will proceed forward. You know, you've got all the players that you guys, I'm sure, have talked about, you know, that are reporting back to campus. They're going through the testing protocols. They're trying to make sure that everybody is safe and clear in that regard. They can't practice together at the facility yet. Coaches can't see them yet. That doesn't come till mid-July. So there's a lot of uncertainty over this next 2 or 3 weeks. But I really think I'm looking forward to guys with you guys as well, you know, just being able to kind of continue to tell the story, you know, of what this process is going to be like as hopefully we're ready to get ready for a football season. And there are, as you guys know, there are going to be some great stories to follow. You know, for the first time in quite some time, we've got a battle at quarterback. You know, they're rolling into, you know, trying to find out who your starting quarterback is going to be. That's going to be, I think, a real focal point that's going to be seen. It was going to be during the spring. Now it's going to be during the fall. So we'll keep up with all of that. But just looking forward to the opportunity to spend, you know, some time every day with you guys and talk about what's going on over there, not only just in football, but in all the sports, and just looking forward to, hopefully, knock wood, a season that gets started on time and we're able to do the things that we always plan to do.
No doubt about it. Joe, we're very excited about it, too. You continue to be safe. Thanks for the visit, as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
All right. That is Joe Fisher, the fine play-by-play voice for Vanderbilt Athletics. And we were just talking about the partnership that Vanderbilt Athletics, which is the football program and the men's basketball, we will carry their games on 93.3 Classic Hits. Also, there will be additional programming on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9, which will involve daily updates, weekly broadcasts, and a feature called This Week in Vanderbilt History, a segment on that or segments on that. So appreciate Joe for joining us. We'll come back at the bottom of the hour. We'll have Danny Butler from Fort Ice. We'll tell you about them reopening, but we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and, well, not Chase this week. Chase and the GM. That's coming up at 2 p.m. Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, we were talking about Major League Baseball and kind of what's happened with their progress. It looks like they're going to report on July 1st, and either July 23rd or July 24th, they will attempt to do a 60-game regular season. And Jimmy Shapiro, our buddy from betonline.ag, has put out some odds on their win totals. And so there are two teams with the highest win total. So out of 60 games, two teams with the same win total, basically the over-under on wins for this season. Can you name those two teams?
I will say the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That is correct.
And the other one, I would say the Yankees.
That is correct. What do you think the win total is?
Out of 60 games, I would have to say the over-under would be about 39.5.
Very close. You're all over it. 38.5.
Okay.
38.5. So who's next?
And this is what is going to be fascinating. about 60 games. We're not happy about it, but when each game means almost three times what it normally does, think about the intensity. This is what we love about college baseball, right? When you play a three-game series in college baseball and in the SEC where everybody is good and you're only playing 30 games, the intensity of each one of those games is enormous, right? Because there's not that much difference between a team that ends up 18 and 12 and a team that ends up, you know, 13 and 17, really. And it could be two or three really close games that swing that is the difference between those two records. And that's going to happen in Major League Baseball. So that being said, they're still going to handicap the teams the same way, I would say, at least from the start. But there's so many X factors now.
And that's why I'm bringing this up, because it is going to play out to your point when you hear some of the odds, because you're going to say, normally, if this was a 162-game season, you would not see the teams in this order for over-under win total. But 60 games changes everything.
Okay, the Astros have to be in the mix somewhere.
The Astros are next, 35.5.
Okay.
So you've got Dodgers, Yankees, two highest over-under win totals at 38.5. Astros next, 35.5. The next team is a standalone at 34.5.
Let's go with Washington.
No.
Not the defending champion.
They are in a cluster after this team of four teams. They are in a cluster of four teams following that. So the Nationals are at 33.5 with three other teams.
How about the Atlanta Braves?
The Atlanta Braves are in that cluster with the Nationals at 33.5.
How about the is it American League or National League?
It's American League.
The Angels.
No.
No. The Rays?
No, the Angels are way down. Not way down, but they're on down the list. More in the middle of the pack. Who'd you say?
The Rays?
The Rays are in the cluster with the Nationals and the Braves at 33.5.
How about the Tribe?
They are just below that group with one or two other teams at 32.5.
Then the Twins.
The Twins have the fourth best win total, according to Jimmy Shapiro,
well,
at 34.5.
You know where that comes from? It's because so high of a percentage of your games are against your own division.
Which stinks.
And so, well, it's got to be considered the weakest top-to-bottom division when you look at the Tigers and the Royals have slipped.
Yes, Tigers
the
and
White
Royals
Sox
are
always
the White Sox
muddling. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not surprised. I was thinking Twins or Indians, but I guess the Twins a little better on paper. But that's a wide-open one, right? For 60 games, is it crazy that somebody like the White Sox couldn't get hot? Like, think about the fact that the Washington Nationals were 19-31 at the end of 50 games. Then they won 8 out of 10. But they still, after 60 games, would have been well below 500, right? So they would not have been in the mix. So somebody is going to have a strange 60 games that doesn't belong and is going to win. They could win 35 out of the first 60, right?
Yep. Oh, that's
entirely possible.
That's why I'm bringing this up. So
I'm hoping the Mets are one of those teams.
Well, the Mets are in that cluster with the Indians at 32.5. Indians, Mets, Cardinals are the three teams at 32.5. The other team in that cluster of 33.5, the Oakland Athletics.
I'm not surprised.
So you've got Braves, A's, Rays, Nationals at 33.5.
So we'll have to come back to this because
Dodgers,
so
Yankees.
This is going to be the fun part in the craziness. We're so upset with baseball, but this is going to be wild with these factors, especially with the rules as well.
Right. So just wanted to bring that up because, like I said, under normal conditions, I doubt you would see.
Who's projected for the lowest, by the way?
The Tigers. Tigers and Orioles.
Well, what's their over-under?
21 and a half.
21. Okay. So they pretty much figure everybody's going to win 20 and lose 20. So the middle 20 is going to be the determination.
Well, what's sad for the Tigers and the Orioles is the Marlins are ahead of them. That's what's really sad. Let's bring in Danny Butler, who is on hold, and he is the vice president and general manager, the big cheese of the Ford Ice Centers, as they have reopened.
Is that in the title, big cheese?
No, I added that part. That was.
I mean, I'm looking at the title myself. I just didn't see big cheese in there, but I didn't know if Danny told you to say that.
No, nobody told me to say that.
Or you just put that in there.
Sometimes I just slip things in there. It's the same as VP and GM, big cheese. It's in that same cluster. And Danny's on the line with us. Danny, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Hey, listen, no reason to talk baseball anymore. The Yankees are going to win the World Series, and that's really all there is to it this year. You know, bring on 28, and let's have a good time.
Wow. Well, we're already out of time, Danny. This was the quickest interview we've ever done. How are you doing these days? It's been a while since we've spoken.
It has been a while. I'm good. I'm in my office in Antioch, so that's it's nice to be back and have some people on the ice. So, How are you guys?
Is that the Big Cheese office?
You know what? I actually have two offices, and people make fun of me a lot. I should probably get rid of one of them, but I have one in each building. So I don't know. Sean makes fun of me a lot for having two offices. So
there you go. So we're in unfamiliar times. It's well stated in 2020. So what were some of the meetings? I mean, you don't have a manual to show you how to have meetings and discuss things for Ford Ice Centers in a global pandemic. So what were those meetings like as you guys were getting closer to reopening your facilities?
That was probably the hardest part. There was no manual. When we first closed, like everybody in the middle of March, we had no idea what was next. You know, we made the decision to close, I think it was Friday the 13th, with a thought that maybe it was a week or 2 weeks kind of at the most, and then kind of ramp back up. So we really spent a lot of time just redoing our schedules, how everything fits in. So we spent a long time doing that, and then we're like, well, why are we doing this? We're just kind of spinning our wheels, when there's really no idea when we're going to open. And then when the mayor came out and announced his phased reopening plan, it kind of gave us some guidance, which is really good. So we knew we would always be able to open. You could open in phase two of the mayor's plan, with just some practices and things like that, and then in phase three, we're allowed to play some games. By having rec sports back. So once we had that plan, it gave us some clarity on when our facilities could open. So we spent a lot of time, with my group, the Ford Ice group, kind of working through all of that. And then our executive group too, working through what our plans were. The really good thing that I have is I have a really good group of folks, across the country, other NHL teams that run facilities like ours, that we started meeting once a week just to talk through what all our plans were. So there's about five of us, California, Arizona, Florida, a handful of others. It really, made sure we're all kind of doing things the same way, make sure we were keeping our guests as safe as possible. So we really kind of hammered down on what we thought we wanted to do, what they were doing league-wide, what USA Hockey and U.S. Figure Skating's guidelines were. And then we worked with Vanderbilt. We have a great relationship with those folks over there. And kind of work through understanding what they thought the plans we should be. So we've implemented some of those. Sent them our we have a 25-page manual we did end up creating for how we just opened just the rinks, not Richland Arena at all. Vanderbilt took a look at that. The health department looked at that for us. Metro Parks, Metro Sports Authority, everybody kind of signed off on what we were doing to open to make sure we were being as safe and responsible as possible to reopen. So a little long-winded, but I think we've done a lot. So,
what did you find to be the biggest challenge in reopening and things you were going to have to do differently than, when you were wide open?
Truly, really the hardest part is our scheduling. So we open typically 5 o'clock in the morning, close at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're still doing that, but basically was our schedule would run, you know, if you had a program for an hour, you were here for an hour, there's 10 to 15 minutes for a Zamboni ice cut, and then another program started right after that. So we had 16 programs on each sheet of ice running a day. So that's 64 programs between both buildings. You know, right now, the way we're operating, though we're open for 16 hours, we're only running about 20 programs between all four sheets of ice. And that's because we've spaced out time in between our programs. So basically, if you're on the ice for an hour, we spaced at least 30 to 45 minutes between each program to allow for Johnny King, our cleaning partner, to be in to clean and sanitize everything where anybody's been. You know, and then we bring in another group. So scheduling has probably been the hardest part, where ice time is so limited in our market anyway that now it's even more limited. So without a doubt, that was probably our hardest. And then, you know, just making sure people knew who was allowed in the building, who shouldn't be in the building, what you need to do to get in the building, you know, is kind of the second step. But definitely scheduling our programmings.
Danny Butler on the line with us, Vice President and General Manager of the Ford Ice Centers, of course, the one in Antioch where he is right now, and the new one, the new beautiful facility in Bellevue. So let's talk about that, because, you know, that everything was coming out of the Antioch facility, and now you get a brand new building 5 years later to relieve that some of that scheduling. You've always had the scheduling problems, but you get a little relief. But how much did that truly help that aspect when that new facility opened and you had more sheets of ice?
It definitely helped a little bit. We still need more ice. You know? And that's the crazy part is how much we jammed in to one building prior to Bellevue opening. You know, 2 to 4 more sheets is probably really important for our market, if not a couple more, just to really relieve some of that pressure. Nobody wants to play hockey at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. It's just hard, and then get up and work the next day. Plus just the tournaments and camps we have. You know, we typically book about 40 to 45 tournaments a year. Yeah, and we could probably book 52, right? Every weekend of the year we can probably have a tournament if we wanted to. So there's a balance there. You know, people want to be in Nashville. They still want to be in Nashville. So we definitely need more. But, you know, it did allow us to have a little bit more space in our youth leagues and our LearnScape programs. But even you look at those, we run the you know, when we closed, we were the largest LearnScape in the country, which LearnScape is what you need to get on the ice, right? Different than any other sport, you need to learn how to ice skate before you get on the ice. And, you know, to be the largest after just 5 years is pretty impressive. So there's still need for more ice. You know, the tough part was we opened Bellevue in October and closed in March. So we almost didn't even get enough time to really understand how the building worked and flowed and make some changes. So we're excited, hopefully, for this fall to really ramp that back up and be able to stay open for a long, long time.
Talking to Danny Butler, VP and GM of Ford Ice Centers, the Big Cheese, as Darren has called him here. So, Danny, just looking at the layout of the Bellevue thing, I'm not even sure how many people have really had a chance to go over there yet. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are looking forward to doing that. But, man, all of the businesses that have opened up around there as well, there's quite the little area. You know, it's like a mini version. When you go to the Braves Stadium in Atlanta, you've got this huge complex around it with all these places to eat and hang out. You've got a version of that over in Bellevue. It's a really great atmosphere.
Yeah, it really is cool, isn't it? That whole one Bellevue Place shopping center and then everything else that's around there. That's what's so different about Bellevue to Antioch. You know, where Antioch, we were kind of the kickstarter to kind of revitalizing this area over here. Where in Bellevue, we were the last piece to come to that one Bellevue Place shopping center. So it is a lot of fun, you know, and it's been really cool for the tournaments and events we have hosted. Because as soon as you're done, if, you know, you have a game at 10 o'clock in the morning and another one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you have plenty of opportunity and plenty of things to do out in both locations, but specifically Bellevue. You know, you go to the movie theaters once they reopen in a couple weeks, you know, Bar Louie, a handful of other places. Or you can stay right inside, you know, we have a restaurant we call Draft Picks. In the rink that you can just come in and hang out. But there is a lot to do there, and it's pretty cool. And we're excited to help kind of bring that back as we have started to reopen and have some events booked the rest of this summer to help bring some traffic back to both economies.
Danny, I'm sure you had a lot of people throughout the process, you know, calling and saying, when are you going to open up? I can't wait to get out and skate, you know, some youth groups and things like that. If there are some other people out there that might be looking for something for their kids to do now that things are starting to open back up? Are there any programs that you want to make people aware of that that might give people a chance to just come in and check out the facility and have some activity?
Yeah, definitely. So the week of July 6th, we have our I think it's our 10th or 11th annual Preds Hockey School, which is a hockey camp for the week of the 6th. And then the week of the 13th, we'll be in Bellevue running the same program. So right now, our program is a little bit limited, you know, just with what program we can have. So when we stopped in March, we kind of stopped all of our youth leagues, adult leagues, and learn skate in the middle of their sessions. So we've only allowed those folks to come back right now, but hopefully towards the middle of July, we'll start bringing some of our programming back. We'll start hosting birthday parties again, maybe a public skate, to really allow people to come back in our building and really experience what we do. And then, you know, hopefully this gets us back on schedule of being able to run all of our programs starting in August or September. And, you know, you come back for whether it's learn to skate or you know, a hockey class or youth hockey or adult hockey. Our goal is really kind of the end of summer to have that back open for everybody and to make sure we do it safely.
Willie,
Darren,
you good?
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. I'm good.
Danny, we just wanted to get the word out because I know a lot of people are excited, and I don't know, you know, if everybody knows that both locations are back open, and you've laid it out perfectly, and we certainly appreciate the visit, as always.
No, I appreciate it. I'm on the phone. Thanks for calling me the Big Cheese. I enjoy that. I think we'll have to call somebody at the arena to see if I can get my business cards updated.
Yeah, that would be nice on there. That, Ed, you have to and put man with two offices. You can put that on the business card as well.
Don't say that too loud.
Continue to be safe, Danny. Good to talk to you. Thanks for getting the word out, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thanks for the time, and go Yankees.
Oh, he had to end that way. Danny Butler, Vice President and General Manager of the Fort Ice Centers, the one in Antioch, and the new beautiful one in Bellevue. And it wasn't open. What was it open? Probably 6 months, a little bit over six months, Willie. And then,
yeah, I think he said October to March.
So it was right at 6 months.
So they just started to scratch the surface of what they're going to be doing there and then had to stop for a while, but it's great to have the doors open. And that, you know, I've been part of some staff meetings and stuff virtually, Zooms, whatever, where Danny's addressed a lot of the people, the Predators, how hard they're working to get that thing back up and going. They have put so much time and energy into how to do it right. And so I think you can be pretty confident when you go in there that they're going to be taking every precaution they possibly can. I mean, just detail. You heard him share some of that stuff. But it's going to be pretty exciting, especially as we move forward here, what those facilities are doing. And as he said, hopefully this will lead to the desire and the wherewithal to build some more places where you can skate and keep growing the game.
Well, there's no doubt you could tell in that message, and it's no secret. I mean, we know there's as the sport continues to grow in this market. You know, it's probably, if you ask any market not surviving but thriving like Nashville is, they probably would tell you they never have enough sheets of ice, right? So, I'm sure, and we know, we've had conversations with Sean and others, Sean Henry and others, that, you know, it's okay, on to the next, okay? So Bellevue's up and running. You know, these things take time, and so they're looking at the next area of town, and so I'm sure – I know those are already being discussed, and hopefully one day we'll be talking to Danny and others about the new facility, right? Whether it's north, south, wherever it is, part of town, and it'll just, as this thing continues to grow. But we wanted to let you know that both facility Fort Ice Centers were open, and hope a lot of you get a chance. It's a little bit limited. It's kind of like the baseball fields, right? They're open, but the fields we practice on, Willie, if it's a complex of four fields, only two fields are open for use right now, you know. But hopefully as we continue to get better, more things open up. And it's just like the schedule with the ice, more things. You can have a little bit heavier schedule as we continue to get through this pandemic. We will come back. There is news concerning baseball in this market that we will tell you about on the other side to finish up hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, our weekly chat with him. Also, Chris Mason, weekly chat with him coming up in the final hour of the program. We appreciate Danny Butler from Ford Ice Centers for joining us, the vice president and general manager over there. They are both locations, Antioch and Bellevue, back open. We said at the beginning of the show when we were talking about Major League Baseball's plan to return for a 60-game season about a Jason Stark tweet, a guy that we got to know very well over the years. And listen to this. Willie, Chris Harris from WSMV here, Channel 4 here locally on television, has tweeted out that the Nashville Sounds are planning to host a 40-game season at First Horizon Park. Of course, that's the new name, with a hopeful start of July 23rd. Sound familiar? That date? Planning to sign 40 players where two teams will play games against each other. This is according to General Manager Adam Neuse. And he is in the process of finding players, whether it's minor league or anywhere. Also, he continues on that says, Adam Neuse is hopeful to work with Major League Baseball on this, but the plan for games is to be played with or without MLB's cooperation. The team is hopeful that the city will move into Phase 4, their reopening on July 20th. The plan would be to have 25% fan capacity during that season. The Sounds are in constant talks with the mayor. Also, Phase 4 is interesting on whether, you know, that's being hopeful.
We got to get there. We got to get to Phase 4.
That's being hopeful, yeah. Right. Says that it'll Adam Neuse said that there – Chris Harris went on to tweet that Adam Neuse said there will be – a wait of 7 to 10 days before Nashville is set to hit Phase 4 before bringing players in. So it's interesting. So how about that? There is going to be baseball in Nashville at First Horizon Park, a 40-game season, two teams playing against each other.
You know, I looked on the Sounds website. I don't think, or at least their Sounds Twitter. I didn't look at the website. But I don't think they've made this official yet. It was interesting that Chris got this from Adam Neuse. It's a really interesting and exciting proposition here, but he admits, I think it was Neuse himself that used the term threading the needle. There's a lot that's got to come together to make this happen, but man, that would be fun if they can pull this off. I guess when he says, I'm trying to interpret some of the things that are in this. Work with Major League Baseball. So what does that mean exactly?
I think we all work with or without.
Right. So with, to me, would be
what Jason Stark was
maybe
putting
some
out, right?
Maybe some teams have some players that they don't exactly know what to do with. They're still under contract. They're not playing. They could use at-bats. They could use innings. They need to play. And that could be a place to put them. And if it's not with Major League Baseball, is it just simply guys who have been released in the last however many weeks that are looking to latch back on with somebody, and this would be a great opportunity. Either way, I think you'd have a pretty good level of baseball, right, because of what has happened.
Sure. And
it's been very murky, right, through this process. You had this announcement come out. I think Jeff Passan put out there hundreds of minor league players have been released, but I don't know if anything's been official of, like, the list of players that are still there and a list that haven't. There's a lot that, you know, remember David Price is paying some of these guys. Some other players have stepped up to try to pay people who have not been paid. So it's a very, I don't know, it's a very interesting situation with the minor leagues. I don't know whose status is what, but that's a really exciting piece of news there. I hope they can pull it off.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how, I mean, I don't know why we're surprised anymore, but isn't it interesting how, poof, this comes out and up? Like, I have not heard this anywhere else. Have you? Maybe I've missed it.
No.
But
I saw Jason's
poof,
tweet.
Right.
Last
here's
night.
Here's Nashville just
time.
Come out of and nowhere. Now,
so here's Chris that has this. And he's got Adam Neuse quoted. I mean, that,
yes.
So this is, so this, that's a, That's something I took note of. Is it's not like it's been put out all over press releases and stuff.
What has it? Because I get press releases from them, and I've received nothing from the Sounds. So it's not.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, there hasn't been anything put out officially from them. At least if it has, I haven't gotten it. Because I get their press releases. I'm on their list for all their news, and I've received nothing from the Sounds today. So it is really interesting.
So what would the uniforms look like? That I'm picturing like a Field of Dreams, right? It's two teams playing each other every day.
Every day.
Moonlight Graham shows up and starts playing for a while, and then he gets picked up by somebody. I don't know how that's going
to
work.
Or he crosses the line and, you know, he goes back to being a doctor. I mean, you know, that's how it works.
Right.
You step into the gravel, you go back to being a doctor.
But you're going to have, I would have to think, you would have tons of players that would line up to try out to play for one of these teams, right?
No question. I would think.
And I think if Major League Baseball is smart, if they can come up with a system they feel comfortable with, it would be nice to have that pool of players playing and in playing shape if injuries happen or if, you know, somebody gets the virus and somebody needs to pick up a player. Right? That would be a really compelling story to know that, you know, maybe so-and-so is playing in Nashville. Moonlight Graham is playing for the Sounds of the Sounds Part 2. What would you call the other team? The Express or the Vols? I don't know. But you would. And then, you know, he gets called up to the big leagues. That could happen.
Well, one could be the Boosters. The other could be Ozzy. I don't know.
Right.
I'm curious, what is there going to be an affiliation with Major League Baseball? Is it going to be what kind of Jason Stark put out there? Is this going to be a pool of players when something happens, whether it's testing positive or, you know, somebody getting hurt? Is this a pool of players that, you know, can be plucked? I mean, I'm very confused on how this would work.
Right. There's all kinds of different ways that you could field two teams. I just don't know what is the target. Is it ex-major leaguers that are just unsigned right now? Because I thought I saw that from Jason, unsigned players. But I think it would make a lot of sense for teams. If there's no AAA baseball, why wouldn't every team put two or three guys that you think might be useful at some point on that roster and have them, you know, playing games every day? So that they're ready to go if and when there's an opportunity.
Well, that's kind of what I want to know more specifics. I mean, they are the affiliate for the Rangers. So is this Rangers heavy? You know, is this people in their system because they want them? They get first dibs.
That's a great question.
Is it, you know, you can only, you know, you spread it out, get a couple of players from each organization? I don't know. I'd love to know that. Like, where are they coming from? Who are they affiliated with? Is this more, you know, Rangers heavy, or is this all around the league? I don't know. I just think it's really interesting. Maybe we will we'll try to do a little deeper dive next hour. We're going to start with Tim Hasselbeck, but maybe we can learn a little bit more details as the third hour goes
and
along.
And the other thing
the
is
show.
to have fans at the park, which obviously would be of interest to the Sounds. Right, they've had nothing.
Yep,
they haven't been able to, you know, sell a ticket. We got to get to phase four, right? So that's essential. Now you could have the games in theory with no fans in the stands, but that doesn't really have much of incentive for the Sounds.
Yep.
Right. That would be of interest to the Sounds, to be able to sell tickets for some people to get in there.
We will come back third hour. We begin with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.